people try to perfect things. And really what it is it comes down to a fear of actually just getting on with it, right? You know, how many people listening to this, like how many times have you wanted to do something and you basically try to perfect it and then nothing happened? In other words, you were basically procrastinating, but you kind of made excuses about it. Like, oh, I'm just waiting for the right time. I'm just waiting until I have, you know, this in place and that in place. And I just need investors, or I just need, you know, this printed out, or I just need the logo done, or I just, you know, everything needs the right time. And it's BS.
Thanks for pressing play. Legends and Losers is sponsored by Oracle NetSuite. To turbocharge the growth of your business, check out netsuite.com/legends today. Our guest is Daniel Geffen on this episode, and we have a ton of fun having a illuminating conversation that I know you'll enjoy. He's the author of a book called The Self-Help Addict. He's an entrepreneur and has a great podcast. We talk about the fear of getting on with it, how to design a legendary life and kind of make it all work, and the power of having what Daniel calls a vernal, a verbal journal.
Hello, my legendary friends. This is Legends and Losers, the show for people who like to eavesdrop on killer dialogues, brilliant rants, and crazy diversions, straight up with a business twist. Hosted by Christopher Lockhead, former three-time CMO and co-author of Play Bigger, who has one of the most strategic minds in marketing, but could also hide his own Easter eggs. And now, strap yourselves in. It's time for Legends and Losers.
All right, all right, all right. Joey Ramone said, hey ho, let's go. And Phyllis Diller said, a smile is a curve that sets everything straight. Hello, my legendary friends. Thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to Legends and Losers. We believe one real conversation can change your life. We try to have conversations that matter, conversations that you think are worth sharing. And I absolutely think that we have that today. Now, is it grow time in your business? NetSuite wants to help you master growth. And the reason NetSuite is our founding sponsor is they, like I, believe all of us should do everything we can to support entrepreneurship. We're at the lowest level of recorded entrepreneurship in American history, best we can tell. And entrepreneurs need every advantage they can get. And NetSuite is a gigantic advantage. They provide one unified business management suite encompassing ERP, financials, CRM, and e-commerce. We're living in a multi-commerce, multi-channel, omni-channel world. And for more than 40,000 organizations, NetSuite is the platform for growth. NetSuite helps you get in the game by enabling you to do business in every digital place your customers are. Thousands of the best-known brands and fastest-growing companies use NetSuite. And now it's available to you at a surprisingly cost-effective price. So go to netsuite.com/legends and you can set up a free one-hour growth review with an expert in your industry to talk about opportunities and challenges for growth. So go to netsuite.com/legends. All right. Our guest today is a serial entrepreneur and founder of the Geffen Media Group, a podcast production and booking agency, Daniel Geffen. He hosts the top-rated Can I Pick Your Brain podcast, and he's the author of a wonderful book called The Self-Help Addict. He lives in beautiful Israel with his wife and four children, and now here he is, Daniel Geffen.
People prefer when something's raw and real over the whole polished thing. People don't like the whole, you know, everything's, you know, picture perfect. And I mean, take for example, a guy gets up on stage, right? And he's, you know, wearing his suit and tie, and he's got his whole, you know, and you could tell he's really scripted, and he's repeating something that he's probably said, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 times over. Compare that to someone who comes on stage and, you know what? They say, I was about to talk about something that I prepared, but you know what? He takes his script and he rips it up and he throws it on the floor and he's like, forget that. I just want to talk about what I want to talk about. Completely, like, who do you prefer to listen to?
I mean, look, you're sort of singing to the choir, right? Because, you know, we're trying to pioneer this whole new approach. dialogue podcast, Real Conversations. It's one of the things I like about your show that's much more conversational. So absolutely. Now, I also think if it's just, there is some art, if you will, to having a good conversation. And there is a flip side of this, which is, you know, just sort of random musings of a mad person, you know, may or may not be that interesting. But I do think it is cool that, let me get this. So Google Ventures led a $10 million investment in a company called Anchor. That's the company I meant. And I know Accel Ventures is in. Have you heard of these guys?
Yeah, I've heard of Anchor.
Yeah. So I haven't played with it yet. My buddy Nick Cullen introduced me to it. And they say it's the easiest way to start a podcast ever, record high quality podcasts, unlimited episode, blah, blah, blah. But the idea is you just talk into your phone. And I think it's a very interesting idea. And I think like Instagram, there's a chance that podcasting, there's a big part of podcasting that ends up in this way. The thing I do know for sure is, people are sick of the, particularly in business, the over rehearsed bullshit. You know, there's so much bullshit that companies say that is like, you know, when they fire the CEO because they caught him doing something terrible, they're like, oh, he's retiring to spend more time with his family. Like, there's just nobody that fucking believes that bullshit. And there's a lot of radio shows and podcasts, and particularly in the business entrepreneur space, with a buffoon-like character, you know, who has a shtick. And I think that stuff is wearing thin.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing as well is, you know, I wrote a book called The Self-Help Addict, which essentially, you know, people try to perfect things. And really what it is it comes down to a fear of actually just getting on with it. Right. You know, how many people listening to this, like, how many times have you wanted to do something and you basically try to perfect it and then nothing happened? In other words, you were basically procrastinating, but you kind of made excuses about it. Like, oh, I'm just waiting for the right time. I'm just waiting until I have, you know, this in place and that in place. And I just need investors, or I just need, you know, this printed out, or I just need the logo done, or I just, you know, everything needs the right time. And it's BS. The right time is right now. And just do, you know, the best you can as it is. And for me, when I started the Daniel Geffen show, I was, you know, thinking about, okay, well, fine, I'm going to do it in the park and I'm going to do it walking around, but maybe I should try and find a mic that at least, you know, clips to my shirt and at least picks up a better sound. And so I started going on Amazon and trying to find, and do you know what? After like an hour, I said, you know what? Screw this. No, I'm going to plug in my headphones and I'm just going to hit record, because otherwise you talk yourself out. You just end up getting overwhelmed. It's the same thing with shooting a video. You know, I remember when I was starting to do like a video series, I spent 2 hours on YouTube looking at videos on how to create videos. It's ridiculous. And afterwards, well, I'm like,
there's a component where we have to go. You just have to go. I'm also, I don't know, I'm reminded of this quote. I wanted to get it right, so I just Googled it, from David Lee Roth, who said, the problem with self-improvement is knowing when to quit. Mm-hmm. Or early in my life, when I was doing a lot of, you know, self-improvement, personal development, whatever you want to call all that stuff, there were people that I saw who did that stuff so they didn't have to get on with the business of doing their life. It's like, oh, I'm busy working on myself.
Yeah.
And they're definitely, look, working on yourself is one of the most powerful, important things you can do. But there absolutely is a point where you say, okay, enough learning and some earning, like go do fucking something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because, when I was writing the book, again, it was like this whole thing of, oh, you know, I just need to have enough information, because right now I don't have enough information. It's BS. You have tons of information. The problem isn't the amount of information. The problem is getting into action. Right, we got to get out of our own heads and just start taking more action. Most people, you know, I'll be honest with you, some of the most successful people in business or in anything are just really simple. They're just simple people. They don't overcomplicate things. They don't overthink or overanalyze. They just do it, you know? And
yeah,
I think that's.
Yeah. And overthinking it. And also things are never the same, you know, it's like when you're building a house, right? You got to get a design and you got to get that approved and it's got to be engineering, you know, structurally sound and all of those sort of things. But you can plan every component of building a house. And there is a certain amount of planning that is absolutely required. And then there's the time where you realize, okay, we now just need to start swinging hammers and we'll sort of make adjustments as we go. And so I have always found it interesting on any initiative, any project, whatever it is, what's the right balance of getting great architectural drawings and making sure you're like headed in a great direction. And to your point, and knowing, okay, enough with the analyzation, let's get in the game and start going and course correct as we learn. That's a fun line to try to dance on. I would tend to agree with you. I err on the side of action.
I'm going to say something that's going to sound really harsh, but I actually think that people in this generation have way too much time on their hands. And because they have way too much time, that's where they can start thinking about things. And that's where I feel like a lot of depression comes from. And obviously before people, you know, jump down my throat about this, I'm obviously not talking about clinical depression, but I feel like most depression comes from really just being really bored and also having a lack of self-respect. And self-respect comes from doing hard work and achieving things. Like my grandfather, he didn't have time to sit and be depressed. And trust me, he had so many reasons to be depressed. He was in a Holocaust. He was shot and buried alive. His parents were murdered in front of him. His siblings were murdered in front of him. He was in about 4 death marches, 13 different concentration camps. This was at the age of 14, by the way.
He was in 13 concentration camps.
He was hung twice and managed to escape. He had every...
Fuck, you'd think after the first one, you'd never have to go through that again. Holy shit.
Yeah, right. And then they caught him and they hung him again. And then again, the sirens went off both times.
Where was he living in Europe, Daniel?
He was in Poland. That's where he was born, Poland. And then obviously he was in Auschwitz and a number of other camps. When he came out, when he was liberated, you know, people say they don't have anything. They go, oh, well, you know, I don't really have anything. We have no idea what not having anything actually means. Right. He didn't speak about it much. He was a very giving person. He always had a very big smile on his face. And he just got on with things. He didn't dwell on the stuff that happened. He just built himself up. I mean, he came out with...
Did he ever talk about how he recovered from those sorts of horrible experiences? I mean, I got to believe those are the worst experiences a human being can have.
Oh, completely. We don't know what suffering really means. That this generation, if we have bad Wi-Fi, we're freaking out. It's like, oh my God, the Wi-Fi is down again. Oh yeah. It's like that's suffering. Like, you know, the oh my goodness, my battery's low on my phone and I don't have a charger. Oh my God, the day's over. Like that's suffering, right? Whereas with him, it was, you know, if he could somehow, you know, find a piece of bread on the floor to get him through the day, that was like, you know? So, you know, he came out and he rebuilt his family. He rebuilt his home. He rebuilt family. He ended up making money through the stocks, right? Playing stocks. And he built a hotel.
Where did he live after World War II?
Switzerland.
He did.
Yeah. And he gave away most of his money, probably about 80% of his money he gave away to charity. He lived in the same apartment his whole life, even though he was a multi-millionaire. I don't even think he drove a car. He was a simple guy, but he lived to give. And my point that I was making, though, which is so, I feel like it's so important, is like he was so busy doing things and helping people and just living, he didn't have time to sit and be depressed. He didn't have time to sit there and go, what's life all about? And what am I doing here? And what am I going to do? And, oh, I don't know. And just, you know, you have people literally sit there depressed and they don't want to wake up in the morning, and because it's, in a way, life is just too good. It's too comfortable and it's too easy. You flick a switch and you have light. You don't have to go out to the woods and chop trees down and make a fire, right? You don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, if you sort of go through Maslow's hierarchy of needs, most of us in the Western world, we're kind of have all the basic ones handled, right? So when you don't have to worry about food and shelter, and you don't have to be worried about getting eaten by the bear or saber-toothed tiger or rival tribe coming over and doing horrible things to you and or your friends and family, then yeah, all of a sudden you're free now to be concerned about the meaning of life. And so there is a real, I think there's a real truth in what you're saying, which is when many of the struggles, the day in and day out struggles that have been true for the vast majority of humanity are taken away, all of a sudden we're freed up to bitch and moan and complain about, you know, in comparison, things that are trivial.
Do you know what I love? I love watching prison movies. You know why? Or prison documentaries. You know why? Because I feel so free after I finish watching it. Like, I feel like, oh my God, I can go for a walk outside. I can drive in my car. I can go and grab a burger. I can, do you know what I'm saying? I can sleep on my bed and I can shower in a shower that's not, you know, with other people. And
you know, Daniel, sometimes showering with other people can be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's funny how
but yeah, is showering with somebody you don't necessarily want to shower with less awesome?
Right. Right. Yeah. So I don't know. To me, that brings back the kind of the feeling of gratitude. You know, having the gratitude, being grateful for the simple basic freedom. It's amazing. People take it for granted what it means to be free, to be able to literally just, you know, do what you want.
Yeah, you know? It is awesome. You know, and people act like life is this thing that happens to them, right? We're all free to make very big choices every day. Life is something we can design, and we can decide, are we going to go to that job? We can decide what we're going to do and what we're not going to do and who we're going to spend our time with. And that's a very, very powerful thing. And to your point, I think it's that proactive decision about creating my life on a daily basis is one that I know it's been true for me at times in my life, where we forget that we're not necessarily a victim of what's happening, that we can actually design our life and live out that design.
Yeah.
So let's maybe talk about podcasting. You've made podcasting a huge part of your life. Why do you love podcasting so much?
It's just a form of expression. You know, when I was in high school, my mouth would get me in a lot of trouble, right? And people would always tell me to shut up, right? Oh, shut up, Daniel. Shut up, Daniel. Like, that's all I can remember from my childhood. I don't remember much else other than shut up, Daniel. and so now I get to talk as much as I like. And no one tells me to shut up. And I could say what, you know, I can express myself freely. And actually, my voice and my power of speech has made me who I like, has, you know, made me a lot of money. I was able to marry a beautiful girl from California because of the gift of my mouth, right? I was more of a geek growing up, and I, you know, I kind of had, I had a mole on my face with hair growing out of it, so they called me Spider Face. You know, I was a real nerd in high school. And my mouth, although it got me in a lot of trouble, it also got me out of a lot of trouble. And I just remember when I started my first company, like, you know, the sales, I was able to sell and I knew how to sell. I knew how to speak. I had the gift of the gab. I remember my first job, I managed to get them to raise the salary. I negotiated them to a six-figure salary, again, because of my ability to speak. And then further than that, I use my voice to impact people and to touch people, to touch them in a way that I can get them to, you know, change their lives. I can get them to improve themselves, improve their lives. And to me, that's just, you know, it's so powerful. I had a guy who reached out to me at one point saying that he listened to one of my episodes and he actually was thinking of committing suicide. He was extremely depressed and he stumbled upon my show and he listened to one of my episodes and I was talking about depression and I actually had someone on the show who had attempted suicide and then, you know, turned his life around. And this person emails me and says, Daniel, you know, I want to change my life and I want you've inspired me. And he actually has his own podcast show now and he's completely changed. And that's power of voice. And you know, it's the power of, you know, the impact that you have with your, yep, with your voice. If you think about it, you know, that one of the things that separates us from animals is the ability to speak.
Absolutely. And the thoughts that are contained obviously in those words, right? Because they're, mm-hmm, that we make noises to represent things that we're thinking and things we want to express. It is incredibly powerful. And who could possibly imagine, I certainly didn't, in the beginning of the internet, that this ability to give individuals a voice would be so transformative on so many levels, right? And it's a big part of why I love podcasting. I think, you know, I don't know if, you know, there are people who say everybody should write a book, everybody should do a podcast. I don't know about everybody, but I think it's a very valuable exercise. And anybody that I talk to who's thinking about writing or podcasting, I just say, well, if you're thinking about it, you should just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And maybe you'll be successful. Maybe you won't. You can decide what success means to you. Because I think that's always important to get clear about. But it is incredible that with, you know, a laptop, a relatively small amount of investment in a little bit of technology other than a laptop and some software expertise, you can launch a broadcast network. You can launch a media company.
Yeah. There's so much power that's given to the people. Yeah, to have your own radio show, what, like, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you like, that was expensive, right? You know, that to be a radio host, to have your own studio, to have your own show, like, that wasn't a joke. Like, you couldn't just go and, I mean, I could literally be in my underwear right now, sitting in my bedroom, and I could be recording a show. And people in Guatemala.
I generally have a rule with my male friends, Daniel, which is if we're going to talk, everybody's wearing pants.
Okay. You don't know if I'm wearing pants or not because you can only see from my belly button up. So.
Well, if you're not, for the love of God, don't stand up.
I don't want to make you.
Because there's certain things you can't unsee. And, right. You know, you're a very handsome guy, but like, I don't need to see you naked.
I mean that to me is really powerful. The fact that you can be speaking into your mic and someone on the other side of the planet could be listening to you. It amazes me. It's absolutely incredible.
The other thing I think is very powerful about that is the technology allows for all of this niching down to happen, right? So, you know, my buddy Joe Sanek, who's the category king of sort of gurus to people in private practice, to counselors and people who have some kind of a practice, a medical practice, a massage practice, a counseling practice. You know, he's got this podcast called Practice of the Practice, and he's a guru to this world. And so you think about it and you go, well, that's a pretty tight and micro niche, you know, practitioners who run these kinds of counseling or therapy type businesses of one sort or another. And mm-hmm. in the past, If you were somebody like that and you wanted to learn from an expert in your field, you know, it was tougher. But now with the internet, we can go and Google and YouTube and do all these things. And a guy like Joe can build a very meaningful niche down, micro niche business, being a guru to other practitioners. So I find that very, very exciting, because it doesn't matter what your area of interest is. There's a blog, there's a podcast, there's somebody doing something with Facebook Live. You know, there are people, whatever the niche is, there are people who get actively engaged in that. And I think that's very, very cool.
Yeah. And I mean, imagine, you know, even if you got in front of, even if you had, let's say, 100 listeners, right? Let's just say you had 100 people listening to your podcast, right? Forget about the big numbers. Forget, you know, people talk about, you know, millions of downloads and, you know, 100,000 downloads and 10,000 downloads. Like, just think about 100 people listening to your show every week, right?
Yeah, I mean, for most people, if they have an opportunity to go speak in front of 100 people, yeah, that feels like a big room.
Right. If you imagine that you flew to wherever, New York, let's say, to speak, and you got a room filled with 100 people, that would be pretty impressive. I mean, you'd be pretty proud. That would be pretty impressive for most people. And that, for good speakers, like, to have a room filled with 100 people, that's like a decent sized room, right? And here you are sitting, again, like I said, you could be sitting in your home, in your bedroom, if you want, in your pajamas, and you're speaking to 100 people every week tuning in to listen to you. And you don't have to fly anywhere. You don't have to book a hotel room. You don't have to spend a penny. Like, it's
incredible.
It's amazing.
The other big thing that doesn't exist is there's no asshole in Hollywood or New York who has to approve any of this. There's not some committee of fucking people. The other thing that I like is, that's interesting, and I had this aha shortly after we started Legends and Losers, Daniel. My whole professional life, even though I was somebody who's, you know, pretty self-expressed and tried to be myself and all that, but when you're an entrepreneur, or you're an executive, or you're involved with a group of people of any sort, and you are one of the front people, you're in the world speaking, writing, whatever it is you're doing, representing, or sales representative, you're representing a company. And the powerful thing for me, when we first started, I sort of had this moment. It's like, wow, this is the first time in my entire life that I did anything that you could, I don't know if you'd call this professional, but in any kind of capacity along those lines, where I'm not representing anybody else. I don't have to worry about what my partners or my boss or shareholders or employee, I don't have to worry about what anybody thinks. And I don't have to get approval, and I don't have to coordinate. And you can literally just fucking hit record and get going and go. And so that whole notion that you don't have to represent anybody, you don't need anybody's approval. There are no assholes in New York. There isn't a director or a producer that is telling you what you can and can't do. That is an insanely powerful thing to be able to do at scale.
Totally. Yeah. It's very powerful.
Now, you help other people get into podcasting, do you not?
Yes, I do.
So how did you get into that side? How did you get into helping produce other people's shows?
Well, I had a lot of people obviously say, oh, Daniel, I love your show. How do I start my own? Right. And so naturally I figured, oh, okay, this is interesting. There's a lot of people wanting to start their own podcast. There's a business here, right? You know, I'm an entrepreneur, so I see everything as ways to make money, right? So me and my wife could be out on a date and she'll be like, wow, that's so beautiful. And I'm thinking about how to make money out of it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow, I see the dollar signs. So here too, it's like, you know, people are like, oh, I want to start a podcast. How do I start a podcast? I thought, well, okay, this is interesting. So I started doing consulting, and I was helping people one-on-one go through the whole process, setting everything up, coming up with a name, the branding, how to publish it, how to promote it, the whole shebang, right? And that was going really well. And then I started having some people saying to me, Daniel, you know, I know that you do consulting, but the truth is I don't really have time to do all the stuff, right? Is there any way that you can just do it for
just
me?
Just do it, right.
I'll just pay you and you just do it. And then the light bulb went off and I'm like, yeah, I mean, sure. If you're willing to pay me more money to do it for you, I'll just put together a team and I'll, you know, tell the team what they need to do and we'll just do everything. And that's essentially what we did. And that's what Geffen Media Group does, is it's a complete done for you service. We take over everything. So essentially all you have to do as a client is just hit the record button, record the show, and we do the rest. We do everything.
And I know for me, having a producer like that, you know, in the beginning of Legends and Losers, it was Matt Johnson from Pursuing Results. And today it's Jamie J and Sarah Parrish from Slapshot Studios, but I have no technical ability whatsoever. And if I had had to learn how to use, you know, even something as remedial as GarageBand, like, holy fuck, man, that shit will make my head explode. Never mind all the other components of it and loading it on websites and like all of that stuff. Like, I just want to drive off the Golden Gate Bridge to think about it. And so the thing that's great about what you've done is you have just enabled so many more people to get into the game, because all you have to do is be able to hit record and hit stop and then you guys do the rest. And, you know, that's an incredibly powerful thing. And so I guess I'm curious, as somebody who does that for a living, what are the biggest things that stop people from starting podcasts? And then what's your biggest advice? If I'm somebody for whom maybe I'm thinking about a podcast, maybe I should have one for my company, myself, whatever the case may be. You know, what are the big ahas that you'd share with me?
I think the biggest thing is mindset and misconceptions. So a lot of times people will say, I want to start a podcast, but what do I really have to offer? Like, what do I really have to say? I don't have anything to say. Like, why would people want to hear what I have to say? There's so many podcasts out there. Why am I any better? And my answer to that is, first of all, you don't need to be better. You're just different. You're just you. And people will love you because they just fall in love with your personality. You know, some people may hate Christopher, right? They may hate you, Christopher. They may be like, this guy swears too much. And, you know, I don't like the way he sounds and da da da. And then there are people who love you, right? Everybody has different tastes, right? Some people like to read certain books. Like, how many books are there written on branding or you know, pick the topic? There's, you know, thousands and thousands of books, but we read the books that we feel like we relate to, the style, we like the style. So everybody's got a unique voice, and everybody has a following of people out there who will fall in love with your unique style and forget about everybody else. That's number one, right? Number two is I actually think that you're selfish if you don't start your own podcast.
Because why do you think you're selfish if you don't start your own podcast?
Because you have something to share and you're not sharing it, and that's selfish.
So let me push on you a little bit. I would generally agree. And I think for people who are thinking about it, I think I try to just push them. But the flip side of that is we live in a world of escalating bullshit. We live in a world of escalating inauthentic garbage. We live in a world of never-ending Kardashian ass selfies. And and so there is a very and look, some of the big gurus, particularly I call them entrepreneur porn stars, some of the entrepreneur porn stars are just ego fucking maniacs who essentially play with themselves on their podcast. And no, they really do. And, you know, we could talk about who if you want, but, the world does not need more, you know, mental, right, stupid, masturbatory, look at me, you know, selfie-esque fucking podcasts. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, how do you find that line between, on one hand, I agree with your statement that I don't know about everybody. I don't know that everybody's special. I'm not sure I believe that. But many people have a unique perspective. Many people have something of value to share. And if you're somebody who thinks you are that type of person, then I think you, to your point, go out and share it and see what happens. Absolutely. But how do you find the line, I guess, Daniel, between that and being another self-aggrandizing, you know, asshole?
So, I mean, first of all, if the person's doubting themselves, if they're saying, oh, I don't know if anybody wants to listen to me, like, who wants to listen to me? Then, you know, you're not one of those people, right? It's usually the people who shy away from it that actually have the most to offer, because they're genuine, because they're real. Those are the people that really do need to be getting up and standing on stage and talking. It's the guy who's coming and saying, oh, I know what I'm going to talk about. Oh, I need to say something here. We don't want to listen to you, right? You're arrogant. We don't like you. But the person who's like sitting there and like, well, I don't know. I don't really know what to say. I don't really have anything to say. They come on stage and we fall in love with them, because they're just real, they're just genuine, and they usually have something to share. But I also want to go back to something else, and that is, Christopher, were you close with your grandfather?
I was very close with my grandfather.
Now, did he write a book?
He did not write a book.
Right. So I want to tell you something. It's actually really interesting. I found a book that he wrote. I discovered it.
That your grandfather wrote.
No, your grandfather.
Oh, you found a book that my grandfather wrote? Okay.
Yes, I actually have it. I have it with me here. I've got one copy. He didn't print any more than one copy. But it's absolutely fascinating. He talks about his whole life, his childhood, and his whole, you know, all the wisdom that he learned throughout his life. And he mentions you in the book a few times, by the way. Really sweet. How much would you pay for this book?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, I'll give you a simple example to just drive your point home. A little while ago, we had Mike Maples Sr. on Legends and Losers. And Mike was part of the original executive team at Microsoft, part of what they call the Office of the President. I'm pretty sure at one point he actually had the title of President of Microsoft. He did a lot of incredible things there. The thing he's probably most, known for is he's essentially the guy that put together Microsoft Office. And, you know, today that's a multi-billion-dollar annual franchise for them. And Mike, because he's more introverted, to your point, because he's more of a guy that doesn't need the spotlight and so is, you know, not sort of out in the world, I think Mike Maples Sr. is one of the most unsung heroes in the technology industry. And he doesn't do very much publicly anymore. And he hasn't, to the best of my knowledge, done very much since he left Microsoft, which was quite some time ago. Anyway, long story longer to get your point across, he comes on and he shares his life and his learnings and all of that. And you go, if we don't have that, then we don't have that. And this is from one of the most extraordinary executives, extraordinary leaders in the technology industry. And so whether, you know, your dad or your granddad is that kind of person, or maybe they're somebody who, you know, had a life that was just, had an impact on less people, but was still a wonderful person. If they're a wonderful person that you love, you want that.
Yeah.
You want that book that you're talking about.
Yeah. Essentially, don't do it for yourself. Right. Here's the thing, and I'm going to say something again. It's going to sound a bit harsh. When you say to yourself, I don't know if I'm good enough to do this, or I don't know if I should do this because, you know, what are people going to think of me? You know, it sounds like you're being humble, but actually you're really arrogant. Like that's a big ego. Like, why are you thinking about yourself so much? You know what I'm saying? Get off yourself. Don't do it for you. Forget about what people think.
You know, I'm going to push on you again on this one. I get the point you're making, and I appreciate the point. There is a corollary to it, because I certainly had this prior to Legends and Losers, and I still have it today. I am an introverted extrovert. And so I don't know. I just have a huge allergy to self-aggrandizing. I'm not interested in being around anybody who's not over themselves. And so, you know, I just don't want to be that guy. And I'm also not that interested in myself. You know what I mean? Like, I know myself. I don't need to tell my old fucking stories. I know all my stories. I'm more interested in you. Right. And so I don't know. There's some magical line in here, Daniel, because for me, if you say, hey, tell me all about yourself, I'm much more interested in talking to you about things that I'm learning or things that I'm working on or ideas I have or category design or things I'm learning from our guests or from just life or whatever the case may be. And I'm a lot less interested in, you know, I go on a lot of podcasts like yourself and they say, okay, so tell me your life story. And you have to say, oh, you know, like Steve Martin and The Jerk, you know, I was born a poor black child with no rhythm. And, you know, you sort of got to tell your life story again. And I'm happy to share my life story, but at the same time, I'm not that interested in myself. You know what do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I hear that. Your story is boring to you, but it's fascinating to a lot of other people. And going, I want to go back to my point to drive it home as well, is that ultimately, when you're thinking of producing, whether it's writing a book or producing a show, like a podcast show, you know, think about the future generations. Think about your children, your grandchildren, people who will stumble upon those things and be like, wow, I didn't know this about, you know, granddad or grandma. I didn't know this about my father. You know, my kids, you know, when I pass on from this world, they'll have something to hold on to. They'll have audio that they can listen to from their father.
Yes.
That's very powerful.
And it is powerful. We've had people come on who have adult children who have said to me, I didn't know that about my mom or dad. Right. So that's really, yeah, I couldn't agree more. And for that reason, you know, I think this notion of sort of podcasting, video blogging, you know, podcast journaling, it's a very interesting paradigm. And I'm stoked that, you know, there's these companies playing with it. There are guys like you playing with it, you know, Brogan and all these guys are, it's not my thing to do like a video or a daily. It's not, I don't want to journal verbally that way, but I think there's real value in it. And I think broadening it and moving to a day where quote unquote, everybody has a podcast. I get that. I think it's interesting.
I'm going to coin a new word thanks to you now. You ready? It's a mashup of verbal and journal. Vernal. We're going to vernal.
Yeah, we're going to vernal. There you go.
Daily vernal.
I love it.
But you know what's interesting as well is I find that also when you go on shows or when you produce a show, you discover things about yourself as well.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like Peter Drucker famously said when asked why he still wrote and spoke at an advanced age, he said, well, it's the only way I can know what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, exactly. So like,
you just invented a word, vernal. I mean, that might turn out to be an important word.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, Daniel, it's been wonderful spending time with you. I'm a huge fan of what you're doing. I love the, you know, the enthusiasm that you do it with. You bring a real joy to this work. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we kick out of this one?
No, I really appreciate it, Chris, for having me on the show. Thank you for everyone who's listening to this as well. And I just want to kind of, I guess, just drive home the fact that, you know, try to just get out of your own head and just produce, you know, go from a consumer to a creator, as I say, you know.
I love that.
No, because look, at the end of the day, do you want to be a spectator of life or do you want to be a player? Yeah. Do you want to sit in the stand? Do you want to sit and watch the game or do you want to play the game?
I think everybody should play bigger. That's what I think.
Play bigger. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, my friend. It's been a joy having you and I'll look forward to chatting with you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anybody wants to, they can go to the Daniel Geffen Show on iTunes. And give that subscribe button a good old smash for me. I'd appreciate that.
A good old smash. It sounds so much better when you say it. Give that subscribe button a smash.
Yeah.
For a smashing show. Thank you, Daniel. Be legendary, my friend.
Thank you.
Whew. If you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did, why not share it on social media right now? Make no mistake, your social shares, your telling people about Legends and Losers, your reviews make a giant difference to our success and our ongoing viability or virability, as the case may be. So thank you for doing that. We are doing more Q&A shows. We're calling them Questions and Cocktails. So if you want me to answer any of your questions on Legends and Losers, send your question to blackhole@legendsandlosers.com to be considered for one of our Questions and Cocktails episode. And while you're there, while you're at it, why not go to legendsandlosers.com? We have a fantastic website. We've invested over $2 billion in the development of the site. It just feels that way. But I hope you love it. I think it's pretty cool, and we get a lot of positive feedback on it. And while you're at legendsandlosers.com, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the action. And that's it. All right. We would like to thank DavidGeffen.com. Learn how to launch your podcast and get yourself booked as a podcast guest at DanielGeffen.com. The official socks provider of Legends and Losers, John's Crazy Socks. If you want to get some socks that are awesome, if you're sick and tired of boring white socks or boring blue socks, check out johnscrazysocks.com. Equity Directory, the invite-only network for entrepreneurs and startups exchanging talent for equity. Check them out, equitydirectory.com. My new number one best-selling book with the incredible Heather Clancy, Niche Down, How to Become Legendary by Being Different. Check it out on Amazon.com today. OneLifeFullyLived.org, dream, plan, and live your best life. We are the nonprofit helping you build a financial, solid financial base and build a legendary life on top of it. Check out onelifefullylived.org. Are you a U.S.-based company looking to do some amazing things in Europe, or you're a European company trying to pump up your marketing and category design? Either way, check out the good people at Positive Marketing, PR, Marketing, Category Design in London, Europe, and beyond at positivemarketing.com. GrowWire.com, what legendary entrepreneurs read on the internet. Check it out. Heather and I blog for GrowWire on a pretty regular basis. You can find our content and much more amazing stuff at GrowWire.com. Verve Coffee Roasters, the official coffee of Legends and Losers. Put some West Coast, California, artisan craft coffee. Say that five times fast. Whatever you call it, it's awesome. Check out VerveCoffee.com. Stop Riding the Pine, one of my favorite podcasts with the nicest man in podcasting, who also happens to be the producer or co-producer, I should say, of Legends and Losers, Jamie J. Check out Stop Riding the Pine. And Atre.net, A-T-R-E.net. Make your website better than your company's best spokesperson, building corporate websites that are legendary. Atre.net. And speaking of legendary marketing companies, Rapid Media, legendary marketing, media, and communications in Australia. Check out rapidmedia.com.au and the amazing people at kiva.org. Microfinance loans that make a difference to small e-entrepreneurs in the developing world. Check out Kiva, K-I-V-A.org today. All right, I got to remind you that today's information is provided to you solely for informational purposes, and this oddcast is the sole property of the Legends and Losers Oddcast Network, and we would love you. We're down on our knees if you would just share the shit out of it and give us a five-star review. All rights do remain disturbed. Remember that this oddcast is not recommended for wankers and is highly flammable. We must warn you, be nice to your mother, support your local podcaster, don't forget to buy crazy socks, or stocks, depending on your perspective. Tell two people you love about two podcasts you love. Remember, don't be lame. Get out of the passing lane. Listen to the Tragically Hip. Only buy pasture-raised, free-range eggs. Thank you, Dandy Candy. I love you, Mom and Dad. Hey, Colin, this oddcast really ties the room together, doesn't it? Today, our deepest apologies go out to Marcus Rust, owner and CEO of Rose Acre Farms. Sorry, Marky. We just ran out of time for you. That's it, my friends. Thank you so much for investing part of your life with us here. I really do appreciate it, and so does everyone else involved with the podcast. And we look forward to seeing you again soon on Legends and Losers.